Radio Prague News.
The Supreme State Attorney has taken up a US offer to cooperate in a corruption investigation into a massive jet fighter contract. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg has explained planned embassy and consulate closures due to cost cutting. And the Minister of the Environment has replaced the head of the Czech Environmental Inspectorate as part of a wider shake-up. The Supreme State Attorney, Renata Vesečka, has taken up a US offer to cooperate in an investigation into suspected corruption over the purchase of fighter jets by the Czech government. A spokesman for the State Attorney said on Thursday that a Justice Ministry representative was sent to Washington at the end of July to seek out information. The State Attorney reopened the case into the deal to purchase 24 Gripen jets from BAE Systems, the Saab consortium, in March, after investigations were twice shelved by the police. The latest inquiry also involves cooperation with Austria and Switzerland. BAE Systems was fined nearly $400 million at the start of this year by the US Department of Justice and British Serious Fraud Office for false statements and irregular accounting connected with multi-billion defence contracts. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg has explained cost-cutting measures, including planned embassy and consulate closures, at a meeting with President Václav Klaus on Thursday. According to leaks, the ministry plans to close two embassies in South America and two in Africa, as well as a consulate in India due to budget cuts. The Nigerian embassy in Lagos and embassy in Venezuela are said to be among those tipped for closure. The Czech Environment Minister announced on Thursday that he had dismissed the director of the Czech Environmental Inspectorate, the country's main watchdog for seeing that environmental legislation is respected. Minister Pavel Drobil said that Eva Tilova would be replaced by her deputy Milan Bukolovsky on Friday. The minister from the right of centre Civic Democrats said the dismissal formed part of an organisational changes aimed at putting the emphasis more on prevention than repression. He had criticised the inspectorate in the past, saying that it had an ideological agenda. Eva Tilova is a member of the Green Party. The Czech Republic's biggest car maker, Škoda Auto, has halted production at its biggest plant and reduced production at another due to supply problems linked with the recent floods. Škoda closed down production at its Mladá Boleslav plant in the early afternoon on Thursday due to flood damage to a Czech plant which supplies car roofs. Output has also been curtailed at its Vrchlabí plant. Normal production at Škoda Auto should resume on Monday. Finally, a look at the weather. Rainfall and storms are predicted in the coming days, with maximum daytime temperatures not exceeding 25 degrees Celsius. Temperatures should fall to 22 degrees on Sunday. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program, we talk to the Czech ambassador to New Delhi about Czechs stranded in India following floods in the Himalayan region of Ladakh. The foreign ministry's plan to slash the number of missions abroad comes under fire. And the Czech football team has won a final friendly ahead of their start in the qualification for the 2012 European Championship. A little later in the program, we meet photographer Oldřich Skácha. He's best known for his long association with former dissident and ex-president Václav Havel. Stay tuned. 80 Czechs remain stranded in the Himalayan region of Ladakh, where flash floods killed 156 people last Saturday. Most of those Czechs have already contacted the Czech embassy in New Delhi and are waiting for flights home, but the fate of a small group who were traveling on their own remains uncertain. Daniela Lazarová called the Czech ambassador to India, Miloslav Stašek, and he told her the latest news.
We are still missing around 8 people About them, we don't have any information so far, but we are trying to establish some contact with their relatives in the Czech Republic and to recognize if there is any link with them and to get at least some information about their movement in these areas when the floods took place. But generally, we start helping the people immediately after the floods to leave the Ladakh area via Dili back to the Czech Republic. So far, evacuated around 40 people. They are back already in the Czech Republic, and still around 80 people are waiting for the transportation from Ladakh to Dili. Basically, another group of the Czech tourists will be evacuated tomorrow morning by the Indian flights. And the rest of the people, they decided to so far stay or continuing in their program in trekking, or they are just staying just to help the Indian authorities with the rescue work to help the people who are still injured and who are touched by this massive flood which took place in this period of year, which is unusual.
The situation there must be quite chaotic. Where are they living, and when will they be evacuated?
Most of our people, they are staying in different hotels around the Ladakh. Very serious situation is, according to our information, around the airport in Ladakh, where tourists are camping and waiting for their flights to get on the plane and to leave the area. But this is not the case of the Czech tourists.
I understand that there was also a group of Czech botanists there working in the mountains. When were they heard from last, and do we know anything about the other missing people?
Yeah, we succeeded to establish the contacts via their relatives in Czech Republic yesterday late night. It means we know that they are secure and they are untouched by the flood, and they are continuing in their work and in their research in the area. But about those eight still missing tourists, we don't have any information so far.
What about Czechs who wanted to leave for India now, for this region, would you advise them to put off their trip?
Well, definitely I will advise to postpone the trip, because really the situation is very serious, and there is the basic communication lines where interrupt. There is no land ways to get there. It means only possible way how to get there and how to get out of this region is by the planes. It means definitely the situation is very serious, and we put our advices on our website not to travel this period of time to the north region. And it's not valid only for the Ladakh, but also to the about the area of Jammu and Kashmir, the north state of India, where are some political problems and clashes between the civilians and army and police.
That was the Czech ambassador to India, Miloslav Stašek, talking about the situation in India, including the situation for Czechs who are still missing there. Now we turn to this story. After seeing its budget reduced by over 150 million Czech crowns, the foreign ministry is being forced to make significant cuts in staff. The foreign minister Karel Schwarzenberg met with Václav Klaus on Thursday to discuss implementing the cuts, following an announcement last week that some Czech embassies would have to be closed down. But although cost-cutting is now the operative word in the public sector, the foreign minister's plan has come under fire from deputies and experts alike. Sara Borovka reports.
In line with its promises, the newly installed government has wasted no time implementing tough austerity measures. Within a month of being sworn in, Prime Minister Petr Nečas's coalition of fiscal responsibility cut the budget of all ministries by a total of over 10 billion Czech crowns. In the face of more cuts planned for 2011, Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg is planning to close down a number of Czech embassies, though he has been very tight-lipped about which ones. According to a ministry spokesperson, a total of 6 embassies could soon be closing their doors. Although each ministry has been left to decide how and where to best save the respective funds, the minister's plan has come under fire from both coalition and opposition deputies in parliament. The Lower House's Foreign Affairs Committee criticized Mr. Schwarzenberg for not providing an analysis of which embassies he's planning to close and why. Dr. Michal Kozan, head of research at Prague's Institute of International Relations, says this criticism is justified.
These decisions should be consulted in a broader political forum, or in a broader political spectrum, which did not happen. Even the deputies of the Parliamentary Foreign Committee were not really consulted with this decision, and they were only informed afterwards. So there are several problems that I see with this decision.
One vocal advocate of maintaining the extensive network of Czech embassies is the opposition Social Democrats' shadow foreign minister Lubomír Zaorálek, who says that in the long run the Czech Republic is going to lose influence and money by withdrawing its presence from a country where it is already well established. Dr. Kožan again.
No one really knows what effect these cuts can have, except for the actual income, or I mean extra saving of the actual money, but you don't know what influence we will lose. You don't know if this particular embassy was important for us or not. So this is the problem.
Among the possible alternatives for full-service Czech embassies are so-called flying ambassadors who would fly into countries that do not have their own Czech embassy from neighboring states on demand, as well as the Czech Republic sharing embassies with one of the Visegrad group states, such as Poland or Slovakia. Dr. Kožan again.
Even this could not replace the traditional embassy network. This can be only, particular individual solution for a particular individual country, which should be set into a broader context and broader strategy, how to build the embassy network. And as I mentioned before, I don't see any strategy or concept yet.
Dr. Michal Kožan, the head of the research at Prague's Institute of International Relations, ending that story by Sara Borůvka. Now we turn to sport. The Czech Republic's footballers have won their final warm-up game before their campaign to reach Euro 2012 gets underway next month. The Czechs struggled to impress in the early stages of Wednesday's home friendly against Latvia before moving up a gear in the second half, and they eventually won the game by a score of 4-1. Ian Willoughby has more.
The Czech Republic have generally failed to impress under trainer Michal Bílek, who was appointed 10 months ago. They didn't manage to score a single goal in Bílek's first three games at the helm, and had only won once in five outings before Wednesday night's friendly in Liberec. Czech fans will be forgiven if they thought, here we go again, during a first half which saw only a couple of shots on goal. In fact, the only time supporters had a real chance to cheer was when captain Tomáš Rosický presented a check for €500,000 towards the relief effort after floods in the Liberec region at the weekend. But thankfully, things took a turn for the better. Almost immediately, the second half got underway, when Roman Bednář put the hosts ahead with the shot into the bottom right-hand corner. It was a big moment for the forward, who was making his first appearance for the national team since becoming embroiled in a drug scandal last year. That strike opened something of a floodgate, with goals from Martin Fenin, Zdeněk Pospěch and Tomáš Nedzid, putting the Czechs 4-0 ahead inside the 78th minute. The Latvians did manage a consolation goal in the dying seconds, but by then the game had been long over as a contest. Afterwards, young forward Martin Fenin denied it had been the proverbial game of two halves.
I think the difference was that we scored some goals. I think from the start there were some signs. We went forward well in the first half. It's always the same with an opponent like that. You have to wait for the first goal, and we succeeded in doing that in the second half. I don't think there was such a big difference between the two halves. In the end, we got four goals, so we're satisfied.
The fact three strikers were among the scorers on Wednesday night could lead to something of a selection conundrum for coach Bílek, with regular starter Milan Baroš now close to full fitness. He and goalkeeper Petr Cech should be back for the Czech Republic's first European Championship qualifier. That's against Lithuania on September 7th. The other teams in the group are Scotland, Liechtenstein, and recent World Cup winners, Spain.
Thank you, Ian, there for that story on Czech football and how well the Czech team did on Wednesday evening. Just a reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and we'd like to invite you to join us this Sunday, August the 14th, for another edition of Czech Life. This week, Sara Borovka will be looking at how Czechs are furnishing their apartments and their homes around 20 years after the fall of communism. She'll be talking about the variety of furniture and furnishings that people now have at their fingertips. Now we move today to our final feature for this day, which is Panorama with Ian Willoughby. Under communism, the photographer Oldřich Škacha was very much part of the dissident scene, taking pictures of many important underground figures during that era. But he's no doubt best known for his long association with one particular dissident. That, of course, is the former president, Václav Havel. Ian Willoughby visited Oldřich Škacha in his Prague studio, and that's this week's Panorama.
In his basement studio in the Schönberovsky Palace in Prague's Malá Strana, Oldřich Škacha is visibly amused as he points out a shot he took in 1991. It features then Finance Minister Václav Klaus, grinning broadly, flanked by two bunny girls at a Playboy ball. Škacha says he likes to exhibit the picture today as a little jab at the president. The photographer comes from a rather different political background. A signatory of Charter 77, he was part of the underground dissident world during the communist era, and is best known for the many pictures he's taken of Václav Havel over the decades. Oldřich Škacha was working for newspapers and magazines in the second half of the 1960s, when he got to know some of the most significant Czech cultural figures of the era.
In 1966, I met the novelist Pavel Kohout. In 1967, I was at the Congress of the Writers' Union. It was there that I saw with my own eyes how Ludvík Vaculík, Ivan Klíma, Alexander Kliment and Václav Havel really had a go at the communists. I didn't bring any pictures back, because a photographer either listens or takes photos. It's strange, but you have to concentrate on one thing. You can't do both.
That Writers' Union Congress was one of the harbingers of the Prague Spring. A period of relative liberalism, it came to an abrupt and brutal end when Soviet tanks rolled into the country in August 1968. Škacha captured some striking images of the violence on the streets of Prague at that time, before heading, briefly, to the west.
After the occupation, I took some pictures before going to Saarbrücken to meet my girlfriend. We then went to Paris, where she had a study grant. But after a while, I stopped liking it there, and I came back. The only sensible person there was Jiří Mucha, the son of Alphonse. He said, "Don't go back, you're an idiot." But until 1969, we didn't realize that everything was lost. That was a terrible mistake, of course. Everything was lost.
In the 1970s, the photographer found himself persona non grata. Editors refused to commission him, and he ended up getting seasonal work as a gardener's assistant. He wasn't the only member of his profession to suffer in that period, of course. But some nonconformist photographers did manage to show their work, albeit behind closed doors.
I think Bohdan Holomíček had exhibitions like that. He was an excellent photographer who did a lot of work with Václav Havel because he lived in Trutnov. I think Ivan Kincel had a small exhibition, and Jindřich Štrejt had something at that time too. But everything was illicit. It wasn't official.
Oldřich Škacha did have one notable photograph published in the 1970s. It appeared in the official party newspaper, but was uncredited, and he never got paid. The picture featured Pavel Kohout in the bath with his wife.
One beautiful day in 1977, about 2 weeks after Charter 77 was issued, there was a huge photo in Rudé Právo with the caption, "Who bathes in champagne?" They had confiscated it during a search of Vaculík's place. They wanted to discredit all the signatories of Charter 77, from Havel to Vaculík. Then the intensive interrogation started. I had the honor of finding out what it was like speaking to an STB officer, which was no fun.
Shkacha's small studio is in a grand building that once housed the German embassy, and is now home to the headquarters of the Czech Red Cross. It's filled with files of negatives and overflowing with prints. But when I ask if there's any one photo, which for him is particularly important, he immediately points to a black-and-white image of Václav Havel, pen in hand, sitting in front of a large old-style gramophone. It was taken just after President Gustav Husák signed the Helsinki Accords in 1975, at least in theory, committing communist Czechoslovakia to respecting human rights.
Václav Havel decided to write a letter to Gustav Husák. It was in Pavel Kohout's flat. Kohout said to him, "I'll give you some advice. Don't write it. Don't send it. They'll lock you up." And he wrote it, he sent it, and they locked him up. It's the photo that I like the most of all the ones I did of Václav.
The photographer has been focusing his lens on the one-time dissident for several decades now. Indeed, a current exhibition of his in Prague is entitled Havel a ti druzi, Havel and Others. When the Velvet Revolution saw his friend become Czechoslovakia's first post-communist president, Oldřich Šťacha could have become a full-time member of Havel's entourage, but he declined the offer.
Oni chtěli mít stálého fotografa, který tam prostě bude těch 24 hodin, protože tehdy to bylo chaotický.
They wanted a full-time photographer who would have had to have been there 24 hours a day, because it was chaotic in those days. It had just become possible for my work to be published again. So I said, "Give me an ID card, and I'll come along myself to whatever looks interesting." I didn't want to be an employee. I've been taking photos of Havel from 1969 till the present day. When he stood down as president in 2003, I decided to continue. He just said, "It's up to you. Do what you like."
After all these years, the photographer says the 73-year-old playwright regards him almost as part of the furniture.
I don't bother him, thank God. He's never kicked me out. So I keep on documenting him. I said to myself, such a person is worth photographing and photographing. Right now I'm planning to go along to the shooting of his first film, which is drawing to an end. Basically, as long as Havel is around, I'll take photos of Havel.
Havel and Others is on at the bar and gallery Krasny Straty in Prague's Old Town. The exhibition, which began in March, is unusual in that it changes, with photos being replaced from time to time and different themes emphasized. The whole thing will culminate quite soon, though not without a few more alterations.
Teď připravují výstavu takzvanou dvojic, to znamená lidi, kteří pro naší...
I'm currently preparing an exhibition called Twosomes. It features people who have been of great importance to our culture, writers, painters, basically people from what was called the gray zone, people you couldn't speak about in public, whose work couldn't be published. It's called Czech Bohemia and will feature 40 pictures. It'll replace the photos that are up currently. They're from August 21st, 1968, and of course, of Václav Havel.
On September 20th, the long-running show will come to an end with a special event, says Oldřich Šťacha.
We're preparing an auction of that 3-meter photo of Václav Havel. The money we raise will go towards the foundation run by him and his wife Dagmar. As well as that, other pictures will be freely on sale to whoever is interested. You've been listening to another edition of Panorama with Ian Willoughby, this week looking at the life and career of photographer Oldřich Šťacha, who is of course closely associated, as we heard there, with the former dissident and former president Václav Havel. Although it's Thursday, we would like to remind you to join us for this weekend's programming here on Radio Prague. On Saturday, we always have our regular feature magazine with all the wackiest and weirdest stories from the Czech Republic that you won't hear anywhere else. That's with Daniela Lazarová. And on Sunday, be sure to tune in for our feature Czech Life. This week, Sara Borovka looks at furnishings and furniture that Czechs have in their homes and apartments, how it's changed since the fall of communism, because of course there's a much greater variety, much more choice today. If you've been enjoying Radio Prague and you would like to let us know or simply want to comment on anything that you've heard here, please do so by writing to english@radio.cz. That is, of course, if you are on the internet, english@radio.cz. And if you prefer and you're just a little bit old-fashioned, you can also send us a postcard or send us a letter to our street address. That's Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. Also, you'll find more news and stories at our website. That's www.radio.cz. I'm Jan Vellinger. For all of us here at the station, we want to thank you for joining us this day, and take care.